Let's rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verses 10 to 16. Jeremiah begins speaking, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ears are uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in." The Lord responds, "I will pour it on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days, and their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." So far, our sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is the rest for the weary and the guiltless sacrifice for the guilty, dear fellow redeemed, have you ever made a sandcastle only to watch it begin to crumble when the waves reach higher and higher up the shoreline? It's a lesson in erosion. First, the foundation is undermined and it's carried out to sea. Then the walls begin to sag and the entire structure just collapses. Erosion is like that. Not just with sandcastles, but also with human life. A habit or a way of life that at one time seemed immoral, unthinkable, is tolerated. And once it's tolerated, it's quickly excused and condoned. Then it's endorsed, openly defended, and then promoted as proper behavior. And then the moral foundation has washed away. Erosion in the life of a Christian is very subtle. It is subtle, but it also is devastating. It happened in the lives of the people of Judah. It is happening in the lives of many Americans. It happens in ours as well. Our business ethics and way of dealing, our use of our money, our recreation and free time activities, our watching TV programs and movies, our use of our tongue, our response to governmental laws, our relationship with our spouse and our children and family and friends, our response to immoral behavior that's condoned by society, our respect for God's word and coming to his house, all these things can slowly, silently, subtly be eroded until we too are practicing things that are ungodly and immoral. And while we're free to ignore the erosion in our lives, and many people do, we're not free to escape the final consequence of erosion, which is the total collapse of our moral structure and faith life. If our great-grandparents suddenly came back to life, were brought back to life today, do you think they'd be shocked by what they see in our society? Shocked not only to see the advancements in technology and science with computers and iPhones and so forth, but shocked to see legalized murder of unborn babies through all 9 months of pregnancy? Shocked to see legalized gambling in our state and country? Legalized pornography that comes out of our cable TV channels? Shocked to see the accepted living together conditions, arrangements without marriage? Shocked to see the high rate of divorce? Shocked to see that homosexuality now is accepted as proper, normal behavior in the push for homosexual marriage? Shocked to hear the cursing and swearing language of the average person? Shocked to see the disregard and disrespect for God's word and God's house? And the list could go on and on and on. If they would be shocked, why aren't we? Most of those things I just listed today are not only tolerated, but they're condoned, they're endorsed, they're practiced, they're defended, and they are promoted as being proper, normal, acceptable behavior. And because it's all around us and because we're born into it, sad to say, it doesn't shock us anymore. And it's not because these things, in God's eyes, were once wrong and now are right. It's not because there's been a transformation with the immoral things that God once called immoral, now he calls moral. God hasn't changed. God's unchanging law hasn't changed. We've changed. God's word still stands. Our standards, our morals have eroded. Our theme from our sermon text this morning is whatever happened to sin. In our first scripture reading this morning, we heard that God called Jeremiah to be his prophet to his ungodly and faithful people in Judah. But in our sermon text, we hear Jeremiah coming to the Lord with a complaint. He says, "Nobody is listening to me." In verse 10 we read, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it." When Jeremiah thought of all the wickedness in his country and thought of his calling, he complained about the difficulty and the hopelessness of what he was called to do. The people had closed, stopped up ears. Scripture says circumcised ears. That's ears covered with fat, so they can't hear. They're deaf to God's word. In fact, they no longer delighted in hearing God's word. It was a reproach to them. They rejected God's word and said, "Well, that might be good for little children, but that's not good for our adult tastes, for our higher learning, for our enlightened understanding." And Jeremiah was at his wit's end. In fact, he said, "Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in." The Lord responds. He says, "My word will get out. Don't worry. Keep on preaching it. It'll get out to old and young, husbands and wives. But it'll be the word of the law that convicts and that condemns." God's indictment of his people at that time is found in verse 13 of our text. He says, "Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. From rich to poor, little known to the most famous among them, from the young to the old, all were seeking after gain. The things of this life, and greedy for more and more and more. Did Jeremiah write these words just a couple years ago? Were they written only to Judah? Now, these words were written 2,500 years ago, but they apply to every single one of us. And if we don't think they apply to us, then we haven't taken a very good long look at ourselves. The erosion of our own morals and standards, the growth of materialism and the desire for more and more in our lives. All we need to ask ourselves is, why do we have stores open 24 hours a day? Why do we work so long and so much if it's not to have the things we have and to afford the lifestyle we've all become accustomed to? And the Lord says even the prophets and the priests are not accepted. They seek the applause and the goodwill and the gifts of the people. They deceive the people and they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace with God at all. The entire nation had surrendered themselves to greed and covetousness. They had bowed down to the greatest idol of all. The idol is worshipped far more than any other religion in the world. You know what that is? The idol of self. And the desire to have. Love for the world, passions for the things of this world, had rooted themselves so solidly in the people of Judah, it affected everyone, the Lord says, from the least to the greatest. Even the priests and the prophets. When they preached the word of God, they ignored this spiritual disease. They ignored the symptoms. They continued to preach the gospel of success, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of one's own fulfillment. And so the Lord says, they said, peace, peace. When God said, there's no peace. They thought that God's patience would never come to an end. So they treated this cancerous growth, God says, as if it was a superficial wound or an insignificant bruise. But in reality, it was a ruinous disease that infected the entire body. It's a matter of life and death. It's a breakdown of the morality of the entire body of the people of Judah. It threatened their even existence. And the sad thing was they couldn't even see. They were blind to their own spiritual condition. So the question we need to ask is, do we see the same thing today? And the moral state that we find our nation in can somewhat be blamed on religious leaders of our day. Many churches today and pastors support the woman's right over her body to have an abortion. They look upon homosexuality as an acceptable alternate lifestyle. They look the other way when divorce occurs. They don't condemn premarital sex or extramarital affairs as being sin. They promote disobedience to the government when it suits their own needs. And they're more concerned about feeding a hungry person than giving the food of God's word to a starving soul. Many religious leaders today are caught up in the teaching of moral relativism, that is, anything goes because God is love. The Lord says, asks in verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? And he answers his own question. He says, no, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. What an indictment. What a judgment. Do we remember how to brush? Are we shamed because of our sins? I saw the other day of a young lady who said that her girlfriend's mother was abhorred when she went to her girlfriend's bachelorette party and the immorality that took place at that party. But then she said, I took my mom to my bachelorette party where we had naked male dancers and she thought it was cool. She's hip. Do we tell our children that the way modern rock stars today dress, some of them, is immoral? Some of their songs is downright ungodly? That speaking like the world with vulgarity and cursing is a sin against the second commandment? That God does want us to dress modestly and not flaunt ourselves before others in a sexual way, and that sexual intimacy is withheld only for those within the marriage bond, as the sixth commandment teaches? Because society tells them just the opposite, and they're listening to society every single day of their lives. Do our children and all of us know that not coming to hear God's word, not listening to His word and worshiping Him with repentant hearts is a God-displeasing thing and is despising His word, which is what the third commandment teaches? Society sure won't teach us that. These words of the Lord to Judah are loving words of warning to his unfaithful people. And these words are also loving words of warning to every single one of us. May each of us listen and heed. It's a lot like driving down the highway, driving along, all of a sudden you see a sign that says, dangerous curve ahead, slow down. You can respond in three ways. You can heed the warning and slow down. You can ignore the warning, keep on going the same speed, or you can oppose the warning and speed up. Whatever your response to that sign, it won't change the truth of the sign. It's a dangerous curve ahead. Whether you listen to the sign or acknowledge it or not. Unfortunately, when God warned the children of Israel and Judah that there's a dangerous curve ahead, destruction, they did not listen. They ended up out of control on the rocks. And they were captured and dispersed by the Babylonians. God's law applies the same warning to us today. He says, this road, this pathway, is sin. And this pathway leads to death. Listen to me. Don't walk that way. It may not be an enemy nation that's going to take over us, but it is and will be our greatest enemy, Satan, who will take us both body and soul into hell if we do not listen to God's word. Whatever happened to sin, people have tried to eradicate it by ignoring it, but it rears its ugly head every day in the thoughts, words, and actions of every single one of us. People have tried to not acknowledge it, but it still exists. Some have tried to ease the pain by giving in and living in it, and that's temporarily exciting, but eternally fateful. Whatever happened to sin, people may have lost sight of it, but God says He's removed it. He's taken it away. The Lord says, stand the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. The old paths, the good way, is the path, the way that Adam and Enoch and Noah walked. The old paths, a good way, is the way that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob traveled. The old path, the good way, is the way that Joshua, Samuel, and David followed. The way of peace and righteousness through the Savior Jesus Christ, the only Savior of mankind. That's the old path. That's the good way that is revealed to us in the Scriptures. And so in the last verse of our text, the Lord lays this before the people. Lays this choice between them. He says, choose now the old way, the good path, and live. They're standing at a crossroads of their national history. The good ancient path stood there, stretched out before them, the way that their forefathers, their patriarchs, had walked for 2,000 years. He invited them to repent, to listen to his word, find true peace, spiritual healing and forgiveness by believing the gospel message, and horrifyingly, they chose another way. Their own way, their own path. And they were all carried away into captivity. As believers in Christ, the same choice lies in front of us as we continue to build our faith foundation. Believe and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Perfect peace, eternal life, eternal rest alone is in our Savior's life, death, and resurrection. Jesus says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he says, come to me, all you are wearied and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Ours is a day in which many have lost sight of the seriousness of sin. In fact, sin today is called a character defect or an error in judgment or a slip of the tongue, a moment of weakness, a disease. But God's word does not play such word games. Any breaking and every breaking of God's commandments, his unchangeable law, is sin. And the paycheck for sin, for falling short of God's glory, is death and damnation. May we who know what really happened to sin, that Jesus Christ came to live a perfect life for us, to keep God's justice, and then went to pay for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins, so that our sins have been cast in the depths of the sea and are remembered no more, may we be filled with the power of Christ's resurrection to be able to keep ourselves from the slavery to sin. May we daily watch that our faith and that our morals do not erode by tolerating sin in our lives, but instead in humble repentance lay all of our sins at the foot of the cross, receive the good news of forgiveness, and then walk in the good ways, in the old path, through faith, walking in Christ. Amen.